This hour is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, the nation's leader in independently owned and operated talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, talking to Mark D'Antonio, the person who analyzes photos, the chief photo analyst for MUFON. Just want to mention something here. We still have that free copy of Secrets of the Mysterious Valley to give away. It's the ebook version, and here's how you get a copy. You go to theparacast.com, theparacast.com, sign up for our weekly newsletter, and within a few days, you'll get your copy of the book. Chris, you want to pursue further questions?
Well, there are several questions that kind of are asking the same thing, and that is, obviously, the vast majority of UFO photos and videos can be explained in one way or another. Do you think it's a waste of time to pore over hundreds and hundreds of shots and maybe come up with a handful that that pass muster and are truly anomalous? I mean, don't you ever kind of scratch your head and go, why do I do this? I mean, what's the motivation? Is your motivation to really find that slam dunk shot or bit of footage? And doesn't it get a little bit depressing and kind of boring after a while, pouring over out of focus insects, orbs caught at night, particulate matter close to the camera illuminated out of focus in a flash, insects, birds with their wings folded, dive bombing, that sort of thing. Does it get old after a while?
You want to know something? It doesn't. You know why? Because the only thing standing between us and extraterrestrial visitors is their science. We have to further our science, and it means going down this path. This is how we're going to do it. It's like the only way we're going to find life around other worlds, in my view, is to analyze the atmospheres of the planets from Earth, as we can see them around, you know, planets around other stars. If we see oxygen in a planet that has it's in its, you know, habitable zone where water can exist, then the likelihood that that's produced by life is fairly high. So we have to walk a path before we can get to that end point where we actually have some confidence and we can actually see potentially alien life. I think that if aliens exist, as I believe they do, and that they're probably here and have been here, but it's not a mystery to me, you know, the Fermi paradox, you know, well, you know, where are they? It's not a mystery to me that no one's seeing them, because I believe that the techniques required, and this is a scientific belief, the techniques required to travel interstellar will preclude them from being particularly visible in our X, Y, and Z all moving through time of our universe in particular. And that's, you know, sounds science fiction, but it's actually related into string theory, which we're not going to get into, of course. But as far as disappointment, no, you know, because this is, to me, a means to an end. Am I disappointed that this particular really cool video turned out to just be a CG fake? Well, sure, you know, you can call that disappointment.
Well, you can hire the guy.
Well, yeah, that's actually happened. But in particular, we've been very pleased, I've been very pleased that the, you know, photo analysis unit team within MUFON is with me, has been very, very dedicated to learning the idiosyncratic behavior of cameras, whether cell phone, infrared, specialty platforms. But to that end, in trying to get past the issue with cameras, that's where Doug Trumbull and I come in, and with our system. I mentioned to you before, and I think it was you know, Eugene that laughed at the name UFOTOG. But UFOTOG was Doug Trumbull's original invention, which was a Humvee with a hydraulic lift that brought multiple instruments out of it to scan the night sky. And the idea was that multiple instruments would take in their own versions of the sighting. Now, that was one unit. And when I joined Doug around 5 years ago, I said, why don't we make this thing smaller and make it a deployable platter and have them talk to each other, send us, you know, alerts by satellite, and we can go the whole nine yards. And he was intrigued.
Yeah, but you got to know where to park it.
Actually, let me explain that. When you look at the night sky, it's huge. You're absolutely right. So what we've done is I actually put together a team of scientists from around the country, and most of them are all national laboratory scientists, either current or former. And they're all on board, and they're all working with us, and they're creating units that are going to be on these platters. You know, we're all doing this out of our pocket right now. We're not funded yet. You know, Doug and I were talking about options for funding and so forth. And there are people that are very motivated in getting involved with us. But one of the things that's important here is that each of our systems is going to be a small serving dish sized platter with cameras that are going to look at the sky all the time. It's going to look in the ultraviolet, infrared, visible range. It's going to have ways to detect aircraft and know that they're aircraft and not other things. They have onboard satellite database, so they can actually see that little light going over is actually, a satellite, and which one.
like, there are software packages like FlightAware, for instance, that'll give you the name of all transponded flights.
Right. The ones that have that. You know,
are you going to have motion detection and record on motion?
In the way that actually works, actually, is each frame of the camera will simply, it's going to be subtracted from the previous frame. Anything that's there is something that shouldn't be there. It's a new alert. So it'll then average those out over a few frames and see if it's really there or an artifact of the camera, because they can do that. And that determines what they're an alert. That's a very simple explanation for a very complicated process. But one of the scientists on the team is the guy that created, with his team, the Lunar Orbiter Clementines camera. So we're talking about people that get these things working right out of the box. Okay, these guys, you don't put a satellite in orbit and have it say, oops, I forgot to connect that wire. And, you know, these guys get it right out of the box. And so the UFOTOG platters are called UFOTOG 2 as the successor. And our goal is to deploy them in hotspots that people have identified. We've talked to some native peoples, and they're motivated to allow us onto their lands to place units there.
Give us a short list of some of the hotspot areas you've ID'd.
Well, we have a couple that, you know, we have, for instance, there's one Native American reservation, for instance, that has a generational exposure to unidentified flying objects. Now, just because we talk about Native peoples doesn't mean they didn't go to college and that they're not educated. These people are very smart people, and they know the difference between airplanes and satellites and all that, and they even understand the natural phenomena, like lights that occur because of magnetic field interactions on the ground, all right, more so than a lot of other people. And these people, being so savvy, are dumbfounded by the fact that there's some lights that keep showing up out in their reservation lands that have no source. They don't seem to be coming from someplace, anywhere. So they want to know what they are. So that's an example. We heard about in the 1990s, there was a USO, an unknown submerged object, flap that occurred off the Santa Catalina, in the Santa Catalina Channel in Southern California. And that's a relatively deep channel that had really odd occurrences. Over 200 sightings occurred over just a few, you know, weeks or days. And so we would go to those kind of hotspots, all right? And we also want to deploy regularly because we believe that they're out there, you know, and around you. I think, that if they would come interstellar, that they would set up probably deep in our oceans, because they could, and that's the place to go. Not because of the movie The Abyss. I thought about this before The Abyss, and when I saw that movie, I said, hey, that's what I think.
Well, Hollywood steals ideas from everyone.
Yes, they do. But the point is here that these systems aren't just visual. Our platters aren't going to be visual systems alone. We have radiation detectors, magnetic field detectors, EMF detectors. We have corroborative data, meaning I corroborate the data with another piece of data that's independently acquired. If we have a visual object come into our field and we see it, oh, look, there's a little thing flying into the field. Then we see the magnetic anomaly detector now says, whoa, the magnetic field is shifting now. And then we see that the EMF, the electricity and static charge in the area is now increasing radically. That's important. One thing is corroborating it. It's either you have multiple data points to one sighting rather than just a strange light that would just be dismissed, say, as a satellite or possibly an airplane.
And that's always the problem with a lot of the photos we see. Could be anything. Mark D'Antonio does this sort of thing for a living in terms of special effects and analysis, and also works with MUFON. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms. I get it. You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Is your money manager giving you safety and security? Wouldn't you like to make your money work harder for you? Then you should consider joining BillsGang.com, where thousands of individual investors have successfully profited.
This year I'm up 60% on my portfolio. Following your system has been fantastic. I've been with you for about a month and a half now, and I'm already up 7%.
I've been in the business for a long time, and you're really one of the best I've ever heard.
Well, I just want to let you know how great, what a great teacher you are.
For over a decade, BillsGang.com's Phil Grandy and Donald Cogswell have been teaching, coaching, and investing right along with all Phil's Gang members.
I want to thank Donnie for Market Wrap. I bought 2,500 shares of AUI and sold it this morning at $820 profit.
Why not join thousands of satisfied Phil's Gang customers today? Go to Phil'sGang.com, Phil'sGang.com, or call 877-600-4264. That's 877-600-4264. Call today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Here on the Paracast, we have Mark D'Antonio, who's educating all of us now on practical issues involving getting a decent photo of a UFO, even if you see one.
And yeah, but we're missing a point here. The point being that triangulation, having multiple cameras focused on a single aerial event, is the golden egg. That is where you're going to get some of the best quality data. I love the idea of having magnetic field detectors, EMF, even radar would be pretty nice to have as well.
And we talked about it's too expensive to implement on the first phase.
Yeah, there's marine radar units that you can have on a robotic platform that go out to 40 miles. And with a certain amount of dampening, you can actually have that have a very narrow window, which would be tied to the actual location of the object. I'm involved in a project called the San Luis Valley Camera Project, where we're going to be putting cameras on cell towers and mountaintops, and we're working with a software designer to attempt to, you know, design detect motion and then you know motion tracking software based on the RealShot Manager platform, so that we can get triangulated data. A single camera is only going to be able to tell you so much. If you have a minimum of two, obviously, vantage points, and the optimum would be three or more, you'll be able to determine all sorts of wonderful things, size, distance, data, energy extension.
I'm sorry, Chris, in the last segment when we talked about our units, I was talking about a singular unit, but you didn't ask me how we're planning on deploying them. And I've done presentations around the country discussing our deployment methodology, and we call them triads. We deploy them in equilateral triangles, one at each point.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly, and we need to have corroborative data at each platter location. But we also need the corroborating data between two points or three points, because we want altitude, speed, distance, you know, all that information. So that, in fact, is the only way that we can reliably say that that's a satellite and not something that's simulating a satellite at 47,000 feet. See what I mean? So we would
Have I've got a really good place for you to deploy one of your first systems. It has one of the highest incidence of UFO sightings per capita.
Berkeley.
I personally investigated hundreds and hundreds of sightings during the 90s. There's been a recent upsurge in activity in the last couple months. So we should definitely talk at some point here down the road about possibly dovetailing our efforts. I've got a software engineer recently retired from Cisco that's helping us, top-notch guy. He started school at Oxford at 16. A brilliant, brilliant man.
Well, so you should mention,
we definitely should compare notes, I think.
Go ahead. We will talk. But you should also make sure that he has, if you have more than one unit to do this triangulation, then you want to include something we're doing, and that is these little XB radios. XB is a nice protocol. It's a little tiny radio. It's the size of your thumb, has a 6-mile range. And if the thing sees something, if you have it, say, you know, 2 miles out somewhere, you'll get an alert. But the nice thing is we're using them to communicate between nodes of the equilateral triangles so that each one of these units will know that there's an alert in progress and will focus and try and acquire data in a particular direction. Now, there's no moving parts in these platters. These things are actually separate cameras all pointing at one dedicated region of their sky. So what that means is if a northwestern pointing camera, say, to keep it easy, on unit one in a group of three sees something, it's going to talk to the other guy down the line in that same triangle and say, hey, do you see this? And then its camera is going to get a higher priority and see if it can see that. And actually institute perhaps some time exposures to try and grab some path data or whatever. And
that's
see what
a great
we
idea. For longer triangle legs, though, what we've come up with is a system that operates with a surprising amount of resolution over the Internet. And they're really the latency issues have been surmounted. And if you're in an area that has Internet, there is a way to actually utilize the Internet without having latency problems.
Interesting. And then the other thing that we do also is we also have a cell antenna on there because basically there's the equivalent of a track phone included on each unit so that it can actually phone home, you know, or call us or allow us to dial into it. In phase two, we're planning on an FTP server on each one of these so we can actually go get all the information directly once we see an alert. But the question of how we're going to see an alert is interesting because we're not always going to have cell service. We're not always going to have internet. In fact, we'll have cell service and probably no reasonably fast internet, you know, if it's like only a 4G type situation. So what we're doing, and this already works, is when there's an alert, the platter sends a signal to a GPS satellite, and that GPS satellite alerts us on our smartphones and says, hey, look, I found something. Here's the coordinates. Here's who I am. Here's my ID. You know, time to go check this out.
Time to fire up the Hummer.
That's it, right? Well, and actually that's part of the reason why we're doing these platters, actually, is because in some of these sites we want to go to, there's no access. You can't get there by a vehicle, no matter how tough it is. You know, it's only accessible by air, perhaps, or by long, arduous hike. You know, because we're looking at doing some remote work in order to study the remote areas that have had interesting events going on. Now, that all said, I think it's important to again understand that the GPS solution is off the shelf. We didn't have to invent that. You know, we're building off the spot system, which is used by people who sail around the world. It's used by extreme hikers who do remote work. When there was a book I was going to help on volcanoes, and it would have taken us to Papua New Guinea, where we have been, you know, walking up the slopes of volcanoes there. And in order for us to be able to tell people where we were, there's no cell service, there's no internet. We just push a button on our waistband, and that little button transmits a pulse to a GPS satellite, which goes to anyone you want and tells them anything you want. So it's a tremendous system, and we're going to modify it for each of our platters to be an alert system because it's already built into the GPS protocols. It's great. So this is how, you know, you get signal when you don't have any, and then if people have to go out there and retrieve data manually for the first phase, that's okay. We've caught the data. It's on a high-res, you know, card on board in phase one, you know.
Now, let me just ask a couple of questions here. And we have to break in a moment. I think the main question, of course, is this is all predicated on a certain degree of predictability in some areas of UFO sightings. Because if you're dealing with events that you can't predict, it's pretty difficult to set things up in advance. Most of the problems we have with UFO photos and movies is the fact that these are unplanned events. And suddenly a person who may not be very trained is forced to try to do the best they can. And regardless of the quality of the camera, it may not be good enough. Let's get to more of this in a moment. We have Mark D'Antonio joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
We are America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's L-E-M-K-E Soft.com. LemkeSoft.com. L-E-M-K-E Soft.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturing manufacturers. If you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Genesis is defined as an origin, creation, or the beginning. Genesis Communications Network began with the mission of providing you with the kind of compelling content you're listening to now. And at GCNLive.com, you'll find a free archive of our nation's history, narrated by GCN hosts. Explore, share, and pass down to future generations. GCN is the future of talk radio, but we should always strive to learn from our past. Together, we are GCNLive.com. GCN.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we're learning all the great techniques that Mark and his colleagues are setting up here to be able to take pictures, triangulate, do the things that are necessary to get really good, solid photos of UFOs, if only they cooperate.
You could write a scientific paper if you got triangulated footage with the kind of gear that Mark and Jumble are using.
Oh, absolutely. But I wanted to just ask something else that you raised earlier in the show, and I don't want to get away from it because of the fact that you're trained in astronomy, Mark, and that is these extrasolar planets that we're discovering all in all. Now, physically speaking here, these satellite-borne telescopes, Kepler and then the Hubble telescope some years back, they didn't actually see something. They see the effects of something on a star to determine there's a planet there, right?
That's an outstanding point. For most people, they say, you know, they hear we found the planet. Oh, cool. And then they produce this rendered image of a planet that's obviously meant to be just a rendered image, and people say, look, there it is. No, you're absolutely right. To give you an idea of the problem, Alpha Centauri is the closest star system to us. There's three stars in that star system. We found the planet around one of those stars, all right? Now, Alpha Centauri is one of the components is just a little bit bigger than the sun. Now, if I were to hold a quarter coin, the quarter coin, out as far away from the camera as I had it go, so that the size of the diameter of that coin would be the same diameter as the star, I'd have to move that coin away from the camera 750 miles for it to be the same diameter as the star. And the planet is 100 times smaller than that. So we can't yet see the disks of stars as big as they are, only a few. And only through a very special process that we use in order to remove the effects of atmosphere and the effects of turbulence in the interstellar medium. Okay, so that gives you an idea of how difficult it is to see planets. So when you say we see an effect, you're right. We see the change, the minuscule micro change in the light coming from the star because the planet may be crossing in front of it. And that's called a transit. That's just one of the methods used to determine whether a star has planets around it. There are several methods, and I actually have a book called The Populated Universe, which is coming out soon, and it talks about all this. Everything we've been talking about, it details exoplanet science and, you know, in a layman's terms, and it explains how we're finding planets and what it means to us and why life, I believe, is predestined in the universe, because the universe is creating the building blocks of life just by itself. And I talk about the science of that. But when we look at the size of planets and the way we detect them, it's so monumentally difficult to determine and make that final conclusion that that little tiny dip in the change of the light around that star was due to a planet. You have to then take one of the other techniques that are used to determine if there's planets around other stars and then initiate a study on that star with that technique. And there's another 2 or 3 years you got to wait, or 4 years. And then you say, yep, that one confirms that there is a similar change in the star, you know, that's an independent change from the transit dimming of the light. Then you say, okay, that candidate is now a planet. But now you know it's a planet, but what kind of planet? Is it a Jupiter-type planet? Is it an Earth-type planet? How do you know? How do you know where its orbit is around the star? How do you know its size, its mass, whether it has an atmosphere or not? All these things, believe it or not, we're actually able to get answers to for the most part. We can't determine atmospheres yet. We can't really determine the sizes as well as we want to. It depends on a lot of things. And for the most part, the Jupiter-sized planets are easier to see than the small ones like Earth. Earth is a very small planet, and especially when it's a few light years away or even 1,000 light years away. So when we're looking at the distant stars, it's monumentally difficult to try and find a planet that's Earth-sized. We can find planets that are like Jupiter and above because they're bigger. So we can see their transit information when they block some light of the star easier than a smaller rocky planet. But what's interesting is we can detect on those planets, we can actually start to make get an idea of their orbits around that star. And if we notice that that orbit is changing a little, well, then maybe something else is influencing it, such as another planet. Not all stars have planets that are passing between us and them. Okay, so that means that the plane of the orbit of that solar system has to be edge on to us so that we'll actually see a planet dim some of the star's light as it passes in front. That's just a statistical occurrence that favors us. That's nothing that you expect and that will be out there. They're at all angles whatsoever. So a statistical sampling of what we found so far shows us that just in our own galaxy, we probably have in excess of 18 to 20 billion Earth-like planets. And that is an astonishing result because it's based on science. It's not based on Star Trek. It's not based on other science fiction. It's based on research in the exoplanet field so far. So as hard as it is to find planets, we are finding them all over the place. And it turns out planets are more plentiful than stars in the universe.
Just one question before we get back to the UFO thing, and that is here. Obviously, we're looking at the impact, the side effects of a planet, and making a lot of guesses. What are the chances that our technique of performing this ledger domain might just not be that correct?
Well, there's uncertainty in every single calculation. Every single planet in the exoplanet database carries with it some uncertainty. Some are better known than others because there's more than one technique that corroborated. Again, that corroborative data is so important in science, that corroborated that find. And it's possible that there are erroneous data points. As a matter of fact, some candidates that were about to be declared planets were shown to be giant spots on the star. We have sunspots on our sun. Some stars have star spots. And based on the amount of time it took for the spot to go around, it was mistaken for a planet. So without an actual visual inspection of a solar system, everything is through inference and through it looks like it's causing A, so B must be because A exists. I mean, it's a strange, convoluted path. But right now, in our database, we have 2,000 confirmed plus planets that are confirmed as real exoplanets. Most of those are like Jupiter, but there is a small fraction that's more in the habitable range of the star and could very potentially have water on their surfaces. How will we know? Again, we have to corroborate the data using a different technique that doesn't, that's not impacted by the first.
Or just get there, and that's going to be rather difficult. But the theory being, therefore, if there are enough planets and enough potential planets with water in this so-called M or Goldilocks range, then therefore we will find life. And therefore maybe some of those planets have spawned civilizations advanced enough to be spaceborne. And maybe some of those are far enough advanced to have figured a way to travel across the stars, because remember, we're dealing with maybe an intelligent race of beings hundreds or thousands of years ahead of us. So the magic with which they do this is way beyond what we can envision, except, of course, in our science fiction stories. Except what?
We do have a hint as to what they may be using, because even though we've only existed for a tiny little sliver of cosmic time relative to another civilization, one of the things we have is we have a good understanding of 4% of our universe. The other 96% still eludes us in terms of, you know, its understanding and the fabric, okay? But 4% of the mechanics of how the universe works is something we know. And even only with that 4%, as we start to look past our current model of physics that determines what we know, as we look past that, we see hints that there might be other propulsion techniques that can take us quicker, faster, farther. For instance, in 1994, Miguel Alcubierre came up with a concept called a warp drive.
Let's talk about warp drive briefly, and we'll get back to UFOs after our next segment. We have Mark D'Antonio joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories.
But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
So I will ask Mark D'Antonio, too, as the cliche says, engage. Tell us about warp drive. And isn't it funny how so many of these inventions from Star Trek, like the flip phone, from Star Trek, and the tablet from Star Trek Next Generation, which looks very much like an iPad.
So
someone came up with the concept of warp drive. Let's get into that, and then Chris has some questions back in the UFO realm. Go ahead.
just a quick note on that iPad comment. The actual creator of that small tablet that is iPad size was Douglas Trumbull. He actually created it in the movie 2001 A Space Odyssey that he worked on with Stanley Kubrick. So it actually is an invention that goes even farther back than Star Trek.
Well, I never said that was the originator, but it's one where it was commonly used.
Yeah, that's right. And it's like great minds all think alike, right? You know, you figure someone will bring it to life at some point. You're right. When you talk about Gene Roddenberry and Star Trek, you know, Roddenberry was no slouch. He actually read. He understood some of the concept work out there in the realm of astronomy and so forth. And so the concept of warp drive was total science fiction in 1968 and 66 and all those times, you know. But since then, around 1994, I mentioned Miguel Alcubierre. Well, he came up with a concept, totally science fiction, that said, well, if we could create a warp bubble around our ship, then we could literally contract the space-time fabric, okay, love those words, in front of us, between us and our destination, and extend the space-time fabric behind us and where we're leaving from. And we would literally pull the universe past us as we sat still. And it sounded like an exercise of silliness, except for the fact that now, this many years later, the Alcubierre warp drive actually has investigative research going on, because they actually think there's merit in some way to this process. Now, there's caveats.
Like, where do you get the a massive amount of energy it would take to do this?
Well, we're a pre-type 1 society on the Kardashev scale, which means that we haven't even figured out how to manage our planet, never mind the solar system or other stars. But we can have limitless energy. We can go down that path. I've got thousands of ideas. I've designed a number of things that I think are helpful in that arena, but they still don't even come close to the energy, as you say, that we need, because we do. Now, storing that much energy, it's currently beyond us. But it's not beyond an advanced civilization. We see that now in this tiny sliver of our existence, that we will be able to manage massive amounts of energy, you know, because we are going to have a methodology to do that. If you can use that kind of energy to go to the nearest stars like Alpha Centauri in 6 days, which is what the Yom Kippur drive could do. You work out all the issues with it. Like, one of the little tiny caveats of the Alkiberi drive is that when you come out of that little warp bubble, all that energy that you've pushed ahead of yourself in order to get there comes back all in one shot and completely obliterates not just you, but the whole solar system. It's that much. So, yeah, there's a little caveat there. But guess what? We'll work it out. On the next horizon, we see that if string theory is valid, because string theory helps us peek into the other part of that 96% that we can't see of the universe, string theory might offer us the ability to go anywhere in the galaxy in just a few minutes. And that sounds totally like bogus science fiction or silliness, but it's not so much science fiction anymore. That's something that is born out of an understanding of how interdimensional travel works, because in our universe, we're limited to the speed of light. And our universe consists of the X, Y, and Z, and all moving through time, that is the dimensions that we live in our universe. So we get out of that, and we'll be able to go sort of in between dimensions, where there's no such limitations. Now, the Al-Kabiri drive we talked about earlier isn't that, but it would apparently violate the law saying that a ship can't go faster than the speed of light. And to anyone watching, that's just what it would do. It would suddenly speed out of the solar system in a half a second. And people would say, hey, that's violating the speed of light. We can't do that in our universe. Except it's not, because the ship itself isn't moving. Everything else is moving past it. There's no law that says that the space-time fabric, my favorite words, okay, can't go speeding past the ship at far in excess of the speed of light. There's no rule that says it can't do that. And I think that is what's so funny about it, because it's so non-intuitive that it makes people just shake their heads and then they just drop to the floor and writhe. I mean, it's all they can do.
Before we drop to the floor any further, for those who want to hear more about UFOs, and before we pick ourselves up, Chris, you had some more questions.
There's a number of questions here, Mark, about your particular favorite legitimate UFO photos and your impression or professional opinion on shots like the Trent photographs, the Costa Rica aerial photograph that's been featured in a number of books, Leslie Keene's book, Jacques Vallée mentioned it. How do these particular famous shots that are considered real stack up in your particular estimation?
The after-the-fact shots are really tough because you only have your analysis tools and you only have the available film footage or photo or two. You never usually have access to the originals of any of that. The digital original of a video is usually very large, and to get a hold of it requires an awful lot of people to put all these things in motion to get it to you and so forth. But that all said, it's not an impossible feat. We have done some of those things. When it comes to some of the classics, I have to say that although they're very interesting to me, okay, like the whole Meyer case, I'm firmly convinced Billy Meyer at one point probably saw something very interesting. But I think in later years, I guess maybe with waning interest in his work or whatever, people, you know, kind of were turning the other way. So I think that he started to create things like the wedding cake ship, you know, and, the bottom of the wedding cake ship is clearly a lid from a storage barrel in the shed, right down to having the little lifting lip that you can see on it. So I have a problem with that, and I know people are going to be angry with me for that, and I can't help it.
No, none of our listeners will, except Michael Horn, if he happens to be tuning in.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't fault Michael for his work. He's tried to get me to go on his show and talk to him a number of times, and I just don't have that kind of time. You know, you guys are, you know, a good group to hang with, but, you know, I don't have a whole lot of interest in going on a show that's going to then just attack me with controversial commentary all the time. You know, there's no reason for that. I'm a science guy. You know, I deal with science and factual data, and there are people that don't want to do that. I can't help them. Unless if they don't want to learn, I can't help them. It's like, I can tell you not to step out of the car moving 65 miles an hour, but if you do it anyway, it's not my fault. You know? I'm sorry. You are going to get hurt.
Let me throw this one at you. Bruce Maccabee, who is considered one of the, you know, most visible of all scientist. He's an optical physicist. He's been involved in the UFO realm for decades. He signed off on the Gulf Breeze photographs, yet there are obvious indications that these photographs, let's put it this way, most of the photographs that Ed Walters took appear to be reflections or some sort of fakery. Where do you come down on the Gulf Breeze photographs, for instance?
Well, Bruce is a friend of mine, and you know he's a great guy, and I think that one of the problems that ufologists like me or Bruce will have, or other people look at pictures, is sometimes we get too narrow of focus, and we only look at the picture, the object in the picture. When I do an analysis, I actually look at that kind of, I hate to say this, but as an afterthought. I'm checking the environment. I'm checking the area around it. And I'm checking for physics effects that I would expect to see. For instance, in the Gulf Breeze photos, if I see a bright light, I expect to see that bright light reflected in the trees, not just stay on the ground.
Or on the hood of the truck.
Exactly. Okay. And if it's not there, then I would have to say, okay, there's something wrong with this. Now, what do I think it is? My thought process was that from day one, I felt the Gulf Breeze UFOs were actually glass reflection imagery done in the same way that magicians performed on stage in the 1800s to produce ghost effects. And in order to show that, I created it. Because as I said, I recreate things, and this was way back when. And that worked so well that, you know, I think that's when people started first calling me a debunker. And it's like, no, I'm just showing you a scientific principle that can recreate this. We have to take that into account. Humans are clever people, and many people, you know, some people like to fool others. Now, if Bruce was fooled by Ed Walters, well, that's not.
He was also paid $18,000 to be fooled, too.
Well, whatever the case is, maybe, okay, but I don't know who's paying him, okay, but I don't know. In fact, I did as far as I just told you with the Gulf Breeze, and I walked away from it because, to me, it was a non-issue. It was a non-starter for me.
Let's do this, otherwise the show will be a non-starter. Mark D'Antonio joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Imagine looking in the mirror and to your surprise, you look 10 years younger. How would it make you feel? Looking younger can be your reality with our breakthrough anti-aging formula that's clinically proven to visibly and dramatically improve wrinkles, lines, and skin tone. Call 1-844-500-0815. That's 1-844-500-0815. Or visit imaginelookingyounger.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.